This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, May 13th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. E15 bill on the House floor today. Trump heading to China. And USDA bars 10 lenders from RD programs. A standalone bill to allow year-round voluntary sales of E15 ethanol fuel blends, up from the standard 10% now, set for a vote in the House today as champions and critics of the legislation go into a final stretch of a frenzied set of lobbying. Obstacles to passage include a formal Congressional Budget Office projection that the bill, H.R. 1346, would lead to a net increase in the federal deficit of $2.3 billion from 2026 to 2036. The estimate stems from a provision in the legislation to revamp parts of the renewable fuel standard. Taken by itself, allowing year-round sales of E15 would tend to reduce the deficit, CBO said. Separately, Republicans on the House Rules Committee advanced a rule yesterday to de-link the E15 measure from the House-passed Farm Bill. The move should give lawmakers in the Senate more options on how to handle E15 legislation if it does clear the House today. President Donald Trump will arrive in Beijing today for a state visit in which the president is likely to address a laundry list of economic and foreign policy issues and bilateral meetings with his Chinese counterpart. While there, the president will participate in a state banquet and hold two bilateral meetings with Chinese President Xi Jinping. The administration has said that it is aiming to secure commitments from Beijing for commodities other than soybeans. The two leaders hashed out an agreement on soybean purchase commitments that runs through 2028 at their last meeting in October. Bloomberg reported this week that the two sides could come to an agreement on corn, as well as sorghum and dried distillers' grains. StoneX Arlen Suderman said a deal on corn could present a win on both sides, but added he expects outcomes on, quote, a basket of commodities. The administration's decision to invite Cargill executive Brian Sykes on the trip suggests that there is some ag in there somewhere, Suderman said. China's corn and wheat stocks are at multi-year lows, Suderman said in his market outlook yesterday. Could that be an indication that perhaps corn and wheat might be a part of the deal, he asked openly. Suderman doubted that soybeans would receive much attention in the talks, however, particularly when Chinese soybean stocks are high and crush is falling. As for beef, a bipartisan group of farm state senators returned from Beijing last week when AgriPulse asked the two of them Monday what they would most like to see from Trump's visit. GOP Senators Steve Daines of Montana and Deb Fischer of Nebraska both pointed to beef exports. China made market opening commitments as a part of the Phase One deal, but a slate of U.S. export facility registrations were allowed to expire last year. They've not been renewed. Daines said, quote, I hope we can get the beef flowing back to China, second largest beef market in the world. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak after this.
America's dairy farmers are committed to feeding the nation, but their ability to do so depends on sound, science-based policies. That's why they rely on Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, the number two milk cooperative in the country and a leading voice for progressive, farmer-driven leadership in Washington, D.C. Edge represents dairy farmers and their families across the country, the backbone of rural communities and a vital part of our food security. From environmental regulation and workforce development to trade and sustainability, Edge ensures farmer perspectives are heard and that decisions in D.C. are grounded on facts, not politics. Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative, advancing policies that strengthen America's farms, safeguard our environment, and sustain the next generation of dairy leaders.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak. The Agriculture Department is barring 10 lenders from participating in 4 rural development loan guarantee programs, Secretary Brooke Rollins said yesterday. The agency is restricting 10 banks and credit unions from the 1RD guaranteed loan umbrella, which includes the Rural Development's Business and Industry Community Facilities, Water and Waste Disposal, and Rural Energy for America programs. According to a press release, they collectively have around $620 million in delinquent loans. The organizations include the Bank of Montgomery, Byline Bank, Celtic Bank, Community Bank and Trust of West Georgia, Genesis Credit Union, Greater Nevada Credit Union, North Avenue Capital, Octus Bank, U.S. Eagle Federal Credit Union, and Ready Cap Commercial. Johnson, Iowa will be the new home of Corteva's future independent seed and genetics company, Vylor, and Indianapolis, Indiana will be home of the new Corteva, the future crop protection company. The business separation scheduled for the fourth quarter of this year. Our roots stretch back 100 years to a farm in Johnson, which we call home, said future Vylor CEO Chuck Magro, referencing the home of the company's flagship Pioneer brand in the Des Moines suburb. Vylor is proud to build on our long history of innovation in Iowa and continue to work alongside farmers to help feed and fuel our growing world. The Hoosier State is an established leader in global biosciences innovation, and the Corteva headquarters will serve as the company's core research and development hub, driving its impressive pipeline of synthetic, biological, and natural product innovation, while also anchoring Corteva Catalyst, its investment and collaboration platform, said Corteva Chair Greg Page, who also chairs New Corteva after the separation. Shares of Bayer were up about 3.3% after the company posted quarterly earnings above Wall Street expectations yesterday. Crop Science Division saw sales increase about 6.8%, the company reported, driven by an agreement with Corteva that resolving a license rights dispute and price recovery following the return of the dicamba label in the United States, the company said in a news release. Herbicide sales were down 10.2%, glyphosate-based products declining 15.1%, sales of fungicides decreased 10.7%. Here's today's final word. I had the chance to have a phone call with Trade Ambassador Greer before he takes off for China with President Trump. I emphasized the importance of agriculture, trade, soybeans, and the talks. It's Iowa GOP Senator Chuck Grassley posting to X. Greer understands that importance. Well, that's Daybreak for this Wednesday, May 13th, brought to you by Edge Dairy Farmer Cooperative. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak, I'm Jeff Allen.